Korea connected to, if I spoke about it before, this thing with judgmentalness, being judgmental. I think this is something we should look out for. Why? Because, you know, if we look at someone else or meet someone else or speak to some, you know, someone else, and then we, some things we hear doesn't really please us, or something we don't agree with, whether it is religious differences, political differences, whatever, philosophical differences, or differences in lifestyle and looks and all this. Some, and I would say that this may be a problem in different groups. And again, I think it's a groupthink, group psychology effect. That it's not the fault of any specific group as such, but it easily slips in there. Now, if you meet someone who has different ideas than what you think are the normal ones, or the ones that are true and right and correct and bona fide and authorized, and whatever way you see it, then, well, you can be judgmental, meaning that something wrong there with you, or something wrong with that person. Look at her, look at him. I mean, we know the story. Now, why it is not a good idea, or something that we should, I think, look out for and avoid, is that, first of all, of course, you then miss lots of opportunities to learn about other people. I mean, who we are for real. And also maybe yourself get a different perspective on something like that. So, I mean, that kind of openness to differences, I would say, it's part of a personalist outlook on each other. I'm a person, and I'm like this, and this is me. And you are another one. Wow, that's how you are. That's what you like and dislike, and what you do, and what it's fascinating to see what's really going on in the mind and heart and life of other people. And then in that way we also can avoid the worst, I would say, and very common mistake that we humans in general tend to do, and that is to look down upon those who are different, or being suspicious against those who are different, or even seeing those who are different as potential threats and enemies. oh, those over there with that religion, and those over there of that race. Oh, and those leftists and those rightists, and and then, well, if intelligence and empathy and all of those higher virtues and character traits of the humans disappear gradually also, such as happens sometimes in a decadent culture, then there is risk of violence and cancelling culture, as we, if you to call it culture, but you know, these things that unfortunately we find a bit too common today, where you see people behaving toward each other and speaking about each other on social media and so on. So of course it's easy, we just avoid that, such people. If people are like that, then, well, go somewhere else or speak about something else. It really starts with our own understanding and attitude in here, in our heart and mind. And I would say for Vaishnavas, because I speak a lot here to Vaishnava Bhaktas, devotees of God, we are, and I would say that's one of the main features, characteristics, qualities of Vaishnava devotees. They are friends of everyone, they tolerate, they have compassion, they have all of those. I mean, there are lists of such qualities. And why? Especially among such people, because such devotees of God have it in common that they don't see themselves or each other as that body and that conditioned character that our bodily existence and identity and social environment around that have shaped us outwardly to be, physically and mentally. But rather see, yes, we are the same, we are all parts and parcels of God, like little rays from the sun, and we should then try to see each other on that higher real level, at least more real. Which should be an even greater impetus for seeing beyond and tolerating and respecting people's differences, even if they are not in your taste. Because you can see that, you know, look, it's a devotee. This is a devotee. I mean, that's what matters here. That's the one I want to be friends with. And then, of course, next step is that you see, because that's how Vaishnavas say it, that everyone, not only humans, but everyone who lives, is a soul who is a ray from the God, Son, part and parcel of Krishna, as we say, Bhagavan. And that's our real identity. We are just here playing different roles for a while and then gradually wake up to our normal reality again. And that's how a Vaishnava can be a friend with everyone. It's not just a nice thing to say, or yes, I'm a friend of everyone because I'm a Vaishnava. It's actually something to be. And to be that, well, I think we need to stop that judgmental attitude, which can easily develop in groupthink, in groups, especially, I would say, religious groups, or groups that are, you could say, dogmatic in the sense of being very strongly controlled, guided by certain doctrines, whether it's a political doctrine or a religious, spiritual philosophy or theology or whatever. When that is connected to a group, and especially strongly enforced and very existentially deeply enforced into, you know, the very depth of our lives and souls, and that group social pressure thing, the group think kicks in, which it tends to do, especially if the group is a bit marginalized in society, which, you know, you can find a bit common in like free churches, religious groups, they call them cults, or yeah, these kind of minority groups like that who differ from the rest of society, then you tend to become a bit, again, you know, judged. The judgmentalness is not only coming from such group, but from the entire society, or a country, or a people in a country. It's also a group. So it kind of builds up, and then you are this little group, isolated and a little bit defensive against the outside world, which again strengthens and emphasizes that kind of doctrine or the reality that we here in our group are sworn to and dedicated to and believe in and accept as the absolute truth. The only real bona fide authorized way. And you there, look, you missed that point. That's bad. Don't do it again. And yeah, that's how the judgmental attitude comes about. And I am speaking out of experience here. Old man who went through that myself. So I'm basically preaching to myself here. But I think it's relevant and something to think about. If the shoe fits, wear it. But the reason I'm speaking this, you know, because some would think, oh, he's just speaking more critical stuff, is that this is important, because the first thing, and now I'm talking to the Vaishnavas, the first thing, for example, Krishna says there in the Shastra somewhere that one considers himself as my devotee is not my devotee, but one who considers himself devotee of my devotee is my devotee. I mean, there's something very important and deep in that statement there, which comes from God. If you accept the Vaishnava Shastra and teachings as they also come down through the disciplics of Shastra, I'm talking really, you know, authorized knowledge here. So, if that judgmental attitude is there, one may find himself in an us-them situation, even towards other Vaishnavas, other devotees of Krishna, God. And then maybe treating other Vaishnavas badly, disrespectfully, sometimes even hurting with words or even actions, because they are off or they are out or they are not like me. Or even, as I've seen, and this is also why I think this needs to be spoken, there are what I call people who joined this spiritual movements, and they were kind of ruffians before, maybe little, you know, fighter types or whatever. And I've heard such, because I have friends like that, cool guys, nice guys. But then when that attitude hits, you know, and really starts to, you know, the judgmentalness, it can also really get too much. And we have seen it, how in these groups, when things get a bit pointed or tense, different situations, there are problems and there's bewilderment and there's dissatisfaction, and some will think that, but it's because of this, these other people there. The best way to fix a situation is just get rid of them. Well, it used to be, I mean, we've seen it, I've been around in this movement, this ISKCON movement. It's happening, just kick those out because they are demons. Or even in, well, a couple of cases. Let's remove them from the face of the earth. So we've got to be careful. Because my point here, my theory these days, and conviction actually, is that one major reason why there are, and we should not now kid ourselves and refuse to see the reality, or as I have been then, okay? Problems that kind of pushed down things that you see, you know, there's you work and struggle, but anyway, things just don't take off. Maybe they even go down and it shrinks and it, oh yeah, if we look back 30, 40 years, things were much more blooming and blossoming and were more dynamic and alive. And I mean, that's how we old-timers speak with each other, privately. But then the younger generation, they don't know that. And you grow up with a certain standard, a status quo, that becomes the normal standard, and everything is fine. Because you get used to that. And I mean, I see there are quite a few examples of this going on. I mean, look at the religious groups today. The churches, religions, and so. Well, I mean, they manage to stay on top and be big and influential and flourishing, as you might may seem, sometimes by political means. You know, you get in power and make everyone follow your religion, state religion, whatever, or money. That's the American way. If you follow God, then you will be rich. If you're not rich, you're of the devil instead. You know, we heard all this. So, yeah, but ultimately, eventually, if the actual spirit, the actual proper spirit is there, which is generally what the original teachers and prophets and founders way back were teaching. I mean, if you look at the teachings of Jesus Christ, it's about love. Loving God, loving your fellow beings. And I guess it's the same basically everywhere. But if that somehow gets lost or just pushed in the background, and these other things come up, I would call these narratives in a way, unwanted things. If they start to take over, then you may have an institution standing there. It still kind of functions, but generally with older people. And it's smaller and smaller. And those who are in it may think that we are soon going to take over the world because our way is the only true and right way. But if you look at it from the outside, they are hardly visible or meaning anything in the world anymore. But when you're in that, then you sometimes don't even see, especially if it became like this kind of bubble, if you know what I mean with that. The us and them, the inside, outside, and out there is just crap, and we are the golden ones. And no matter what, you can see it that way because you don't have anything to compare to even anymore. I mean, you see documentaries, films about old cult members who finally managed to get out of that cult. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's a factual problem that you may have, especially if you grow up in such an isolated environment. But, you know, you get pulled into, and you are there depending on the social environment. All your friends are there, your family there. And if you then see something wrong with this, then take some courage and strength to get out and find your life out there. And many then say that, wow, this is how it looked like in the world outside. So, yeah. How I got into all this, I don't even know, but it has to do with this judgmentalness that we should be very careful about. But really, what I, of course, talk about here is not just, you know, pointing at a problem or something that is wrong, but to really emphasize the positive message here, that we should become real personalists, meaning first of all, just be ourselves, dare to be ourselves, and to make friends in such a way that we can dare to be ourselves with our friends as well. Not that we have to, this is me, now I'm a bona fide Vaishnava or whatever, playing that little role, you know, that sometimes cosplay even. But, you know, just here am I, for good or for bad, it's just what you see is what you get, okay? And wow, there you are. You're different than me, but that's how you are. And no judgmentalness, but yep, you have your path in life, I have mine. I cannot judge you. Why can't I do that? Because especially devotees of God, of dedicated lives to serving God or like that, what you do, you take that step, is that you now have your own personal private relationship with God. And then how that relationship will and does appear or develop, it's up to you and God. It's between you two, just as it is between us if we are two people making friends with each other. And nobody from the outside can actually see what's really in there, in that relationship. So if we judge others because they don't follow the same rules and regulations and principles and, you know, doctrines and all of that, that we consider being the only true way, well, maybe that person has a deep, personal, loving relationship with God who inspires that person to do something which you and I can't really understand and see. Which, yes, may be out of our book, but maybe there is a higher purpose that we can't see. So the judgmentalness is actually a form, I would say, of arrogance, a form of pride. I know better than you about you, how you should be and not be, and so on. So we should look at ourselves first before we judge others. But then, of course, the judgmental attitude includes being judgmental towards ourselves, because, and I would say they kind of fit together, the two, because if you are being judged and criticized by others around you in the social environment that you live in, then that judgment goes within and becomes, you know, the super ego there, you know, the little voice continuing telling us that. This is basic Freud, right? I mean, the social environment, impression, all that creates that inner voice that basically judges us for good or for bad, for right or for wrong. And that is a completely different voice than the voice of conscience, which is a very nice, wise, loving voice, which is really the voice of Paramatma, God there within. who then, if you listen to that voice, generally says, be kind, be nice, and well, you got the shastras, the old Sanskrit verses there about how you should be toward each other, toward other people. Yes, it's there in the Bhagavad Gita and so on. So there's no mystery, no questions. About that, but it's so to listen to the right voice from within, it's something we need to learn as well. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna.